Hello and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances and I'll be your hostess. Hello and welcome to episode number 45. This is the settling into summer episode, which is what we're doing. We've been out of school now for over a week. Close to 2 weeks, is that right? Well, I guess for Will, it will be close to 2 weeks. And Jack, it'll be 2 weeks on Wednesday. And we're just puttering along. I've been working on this revision I'm doing. Almost done. In fact, I think I'm going to have it to my editor tomorrow afternoon. I need to go over it one more time, make sure that all the, buttons are buttoned and bows are tied or whatever I do, I's are dotted. And send it to her and get it out of my hair. And everybody keep your fingers crossed that she's going to like it. It's not that she hasn't liked the past draft. She's liked them fine. She's just wanted more. But I think I finally have it where she's going to say, fine, and she's going to send me a check, and she's going to let me go on my merry way until the next book. So fingers crossed that that's going to be the situation. Because I'm ready to get going on summer. It has been a fine 2 weeks, a very hot 2 weeks. It's cooling down. Yeah, I'm going to do some of that weather talk. Sorry, but the news is good. It's going to be like 83 tomorrow, which is what it's supposed to be at the beginning of June. So that's going to be really, really pleasant. And it's going to be good, too, because Will's got a baseball game at 6. Although I can't go because I am going to a canning class downtown at our local county extension agent office and to learn a little bit more about canning so I don't kill anyone. So I'm going to have to miss Will's first baseball game, but not to worry because there's another one on Thursday and there'll be two for a week every week from now until sometime when it gets really, really hot. And we will all suffer accordingly. But tomorrow night it'll be beautiful and hopefully Thursday night when I will go to the game, it will also be beautiful and cool. And then we're going to the Outer Banks and that will feel to me like the very official start of summer because you should go into summer feeling free. And I didn't really enter the summer feeling free. And I know for those of you who work like full-time in offices, you're just rolling your eyes going, yeah, enough of the feeling free talk. But you know, there's something about summer that needs to say to you, you are free, at least for this weekend, or at least for this week at the beach. So I'm looking forward to the beach. I'm looking forward to eating pimento cheese and drinking Coca-Cola. It's the only time we do it is at the beach. I have not been really eating much sugar, so the Coke ought to be a real shock to my system, and I'm probably not going to be able to do a whole lot of it. Because once you kind of cut down dramatically on the sugar, then any sugar you eat makes you feel kind of weird. So, but I love Coke. Love Coke. Looking forward to the beach and looking forward to getting back, other than the fact that I'm going to New Orleans for 2 days, which will be fine. I'm not looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward to getting into the summer routine, in which I get up, preferably early. I was doing really well a couple weeks ago. I was getting up at 6:30, which is just a very nice time to get up when it's really hot out. But slowly and surely, I've been edging later and later. So like it's been 7:30 and 7:40. And when we go to the beach, there's no telling. I mean, sometimes at the beach, you end up getting up really early, and sometimes it's like you wake up and it's 9. You hate to kill a morning at the beach by sleeping through it, though. So I hope we will get up and have a good time. And then, but we'll come back, do a little American Library Association conference down in New Orleans for a couple days, and then come home, and then quilt. That's the plan. I've just felt kind of fragmented. One of the things about summer that always throws me for a loop is I end up actually doing a lot more driving than I remember doing. And in fact, at the end of the year, I'm always like, oh, this is great. I don't have to, the end of the school year, I'm always excited about school being over so I don't have to do the school drop-offs and pickups. And then, you hit summer, you're like, wow, I'm just driving all the time. I'm driving the kids to their friend's house and driving to the pool and doing this and doing that. And I'm like, wow, that's actually the great thing about the beach is, I'll go for a week and not drive, which is quite lovely. So when we get back from the beach, will I be driving? Sure. But hopefully not quite so much. Things will be calm. I will not be revising. I will be gardening and quilting. Yes, quilting. I've been making some good progress. I've focused the last couple days primarily on the Robert Kaufman Quilt Challenge for the Modern Quilt Guild Association. I just want to get that done. I feel morally obligated to do it. Do you feel morally obligated to do a quilt challenge when someone gives you the fabric? I just feel as though I should. I mean, I want to, and it's good to have that feeling of obligation because it's really easy to blow stuff off, you know? You can be really excited about signing up for something 2 months before, and then when it comes up to the time when you're supposed to do it, you're like, wow, I don't really feel like doing that right now. I'm very much that way. I get really excited about stuff way in advance, and then when the day comes, like, yeah, not so excited. So I like kind of having that moral obligation of I've been given this fabric, I need to do something with it. It doesn't have to be amazing, but I should make a good try, and I should use it, and I should go to the Quilt Guild meeting. I just missed a Modern Quilt Guild meeting. I had to do it because I had to miss it. Just some stuff was going on with Jack's youth group. But also, it was the lesson. They're trying to do some teaching stuff, which I think is very cool, but it was on quilt tying. And not that I will never tie a quilt, but I don't have a huge interest in that. And I think I could probably figure it out myself. So I didn't mind missing it. But this next one is in early July, and I plan to go. And I plan to take my Robert Kaufman Quilt Challenge quilt with a nice solid fabric. I got a comment from Noni. And she was asking, are all the fabrics solid? Yes, it is solids. It's Kona Solids by Robert Kaufman. By the way, speaking of comments, I could probably just ramble on for a long time, but I shouldn't. Thank you, everyone who commented on episode 44. I mentioned that I got a Rowenta iron. I heard from Sharon. She says, have had a Rowenta for years, different models, and at first was heavy, now very used to it, but none have made it to a year before they started leaking. Keep your warranty and they will replace it, so it's like getting a new iron every year, though it's a pain that it starts leaking. Sharon, thanks for that bit of advice, because a lot of times I don't turn in warranties, but maybe I will for this. I also don't use a lot of steam. This will be the interesting thing, because I'm sharing this with the man, and he does use steam, but the only ironing I really do is pressing when I'm quilting, and I don't use steam then. So we'll see. So I don't plan to keep it too full, but I will watch out for the leaking. And that's really frustrating when an iron leaks. Thank you again to Noni, who said that she loved my sawtooth star, and she thought that there was a good contrast in the fabrics. Noni, let me know what you think about my Dutchman's puzzle. There's a picture of that up on the WordPress site. Also got nice comments from June and Sherry D and Kelly V, also known as Kelly the Fifth, Jane and Jody B, who seems to be a new listener, was listening while she was working out and has a daughter coming up to UNC for her freshman orientation soon. I think Jody's bringing her. Woohoo! Go Tar Heels. And Jody's in Atlanta, so I hope you're listening to Pam over at Hip to Be a Square, who is also an Atlanta girl. So thanks everyone who took the time to comment. I appreciate it. And if you would like to comment on this week's episode, you may do so. I have two sites, the Podbean site, which is http://offkilterquilt.podbean.com. And there's also my WordPress site, and that's where my pictures are, and that's http://theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. There's a link to the WordPress site over on the Podbean site, so to make it easier for you. And I think I just have the picture of the Dutchman puzzle block, which I finished this week, and finished it, Jay, yay! And then just my work table with the Robert Kaufman Modern Quilt Guild Quilt a Challenge stuff laid out, so you can see kind of where I am with that. You can also email me, by the way, F as in Francis, Dowell at mindspring.com. Thanks to everyone who has left an iTunes review. Feel free to do that if the spirit moves you and you haven't done it already. So I think that is what I have to say for this introduction. I have a couple days worth of quilt diaries Nothing too exciting. I'll go ahead and tell you right now. So again, if you've got other stuff you're doing and just kind of listening to podcasts, I have another voice in the room. This is a good podcast. This is a good episode for just kind of having it on in the background. But I do appreciate you listening, whether you're listening with your whole heart or just half-heartedly. Thanks for tuning in, and on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Thursday, June something. Will and I were trying to figure that out. Is it the 7th? No, the 9th, the 10th. It's somewhere in June, the Thursday, somewhere in June. I don't know. It's summer. Who knows what the date is anymore? I'm making this evening a quilty evening because I've done no quilting, like, all week. Part of it, I'm working on a revision. I'm almost done, but that is, like, my whole morning is revising, is writing. And then the afternoon is supervising children, taking them to the pool or picking them up someplace, dropping them off some other place, and, you know, going to Target, just doing all the stuff that you do. And there's a mild, moderate amount of cleaning going on, very, very, very minuscule amounts of cleaning going on, but, you know, then dinner and the whole bit. So no quilting. And after dinner, I've been doing a lot with Will, doing puzzles and things like that. He's just needed that lately. Anyway, not a lot of quilting, so I just decided this afternoon, we got home from the pool, I thought, I'm just going to spend the rest of the day quilting. The man is covering the state legislature, which has been meeting till midnight every night, the last few nights, and they're talking about working all the way through the weekend. So much fun for the man. So don't have anyone to hang out with at night anyway. And I think if Will wants to hang out, he can sit here at the other end of the dining room table where he's been working on his puzzles and watching The Road to Avonlea, which is a show we love. Do you know this show? We found it through our library. It's on DVD. There's season after season. It goes on for like 6 or 7 seasons. And it takes place on Prince Edward Island, like a generation or maybe a half generation after Anne of Green Gables. And in fact, Marissa? If you've read Anne of Green Gables, her aunt Marissa, I think, actually played by, what's her name, Colleen I can't think of what her name is. Wonderful actress plays Aunt Marissa, who has a recurring role on The Road to Avonlea, starting in the second or third season. So Will works on puzzles and watches The Road to Avonlea, which he thinks is absolutely hilarious. And I really like it too, because I think it does a good job of, it's kind of wholesome fare, but not overly sentimental, and all the characters are kind of quirky, and no one's all good or all bad, and I like that. So he can do that, and I'm going to keep working. And Jack made dinner last night, a savory meat pie, and that's what we're going to have for dinner tonight. It's 7:30, and we haven't eaten. We're just, without the man coming home at night, we're just kind of winging it, family-wise, dinner-wise. And sometimes that's fun. After a while, it gets a little depressing, but it can be fun, too, just everyone kind of doing their thing. I don't like that as a rule, and we're not going to become one of those families where everyone eats at different times, but for a couple days in summer, it's okay. So I'm quilting, and what actually motivated me to sit down and record a diary is that I'm working on the Robert Kaufman Modern Quilt Guild Challenge on my shoe fly pie quilt, and I forgot last week I was going to comment on the charm pack, which is wonderful. I love the colors. Would be drawn to, but I like them very much, and I'm enjoying working with solids. But here's the thing about charm packs, and I guess this is true of layer cakes. I guess the thing about pre-cut fabrics is they are cut with serrated edges. I guess that's the word for it. Isn't that the word for it? Serrated edges. And I'm assuming they're cut that way to keep the fabric from unraveling. And you know, that makes sense, but it drives me crazy. How do you cut? How do you measure? what point, you know, 'cause so you have points. Instead of having a straight line edge, you have an edge with little triangles, if you know what I mean, the serrated edge. I think you measure from the furthest point, from the tips of the triangles, but it just drives me crazy. Can't they just make fabric that won't unravel when you cut it? I mean, it makes me crazy. And when I did, I guess the Hidden Stars quilt, I used the layer cake I got for Christmas, and it was the same thing. It made me nuts. And this is making me nuts too. And I just wanted to share with you that it makes me nuts having to cut. Has anyone had that? Do any of you work with pre-cuts, the serrated edge pre-cuts, where you're trying to figure out where do you put your ruler? Where do you measure from? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's just nutty. It makes me nuts, and I wanted to share. Well, I'm going to get back to it. Jack is now on the phone with his friend Christoph, who's invited him to spend the night. This is Christoph, who has been Jack's best friend for the last couple of years and then switched schools this year. And they're still good friends, but I've noticed over the course of the year, they don't talk quite as much, but then they get together and have sleepovers. And so they're still very good friends. It's just not the same when you don't see someone every day. And Christoph lives about 30 minutes away. It's sad, but I'm glad that Christoph called. And Jack has made other friends, and I'm happy about that, but I still kind of grieve over the loss of Christoph. So I'm glad he called, and I'm glad that Jack's going to go do a sleepover. All right, that's it for now. I might come back later tonight because I may have important thoughts to share with you. There may be other things that irritate me that I'll need to share with you. I am thinking, by the way, about our beach trip, which we leave a week from tomorrow. We are going to Ocracoke Island, which is on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. It's close to the Outer Banks is a string of barrier islands that basically run to the right of North Carolina. And Ocracoke is the second to the last. I think Portsmouth Island is the last island in the string. And I've not been to Ocracoke for a long time, but it's very pretty, lots of history. We're going there instead of our old hangout, Sunset Beach, because while Sunset Beach is lovely, there's nothing to do. And you get to a certain age with children where that's not good, you know, because they don't nap anymore. Actually, I think this year Jack may nap. He's sleeping so much. You know, he's 12 and he's really going through it. He might nap this year. But for the last, you know, while, the boys haven't napped. And by the end of the week, everyone's just kind of like, But, you know, at Ocracoke, it's a village and it's got a bookstore. It's got a library. It's got historical stuff. So, you know, we could just send Jack out on his bike and say, go. Go ride your bike someplace. Go ride your bike and go get some ice cream. Or you could walk to get ice cream. So there are things to do. So we're hoping that's going to be a good vacation spot for us. And the man and I have gone before and really enjoyed it. I'm thinking about what I'm going to take quilt-wise. I believe what I'm going to do is take Hidden Stars and just quilt away on that sucker. I don't think I'd be surprised if I finished it. You know, the thing at the beach is it's great, but you really are kind of wiped out by the end of the day. Nonetheless, I hope I will get some work done on that. I don't think I'm going to bring my machine. And I really don't think. I have plenty of time to finish up the Modern Quilt Guild Challenge quilt. So I don't think I will bring the machine. Just Hidden Stars. That's my latest thought on that. But I'll get back because I still have a week to think about this. But my goal is always to pack light. I never meet that goal. I pack way too much stuff wherever I go. Bad packer. That's me. All right, more later. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Sunday, June 12th. It's 8:36 p.m. I don't know how it got to be 8:36 p.m. It just is one of those days. Well, here's what happened to today. Is that this afternoon, Jack went over to Antioch Baptist Church with his youth group because that's where the IHN, the Interfaith Hospitality Network folks, were having dinner. And it was Jack's youth group's turn to make dinner for the folks in IHN, which is a very cool program we have here in Durham. It helps temporarily homeless people, people who lost their homes, not because they're chronically homeless, but just you know, they lost their job and they just couldn't come up with rent, or, you know, just they're just people who need some time and a little bit of help. And that's what IHN does. It houses these folks for up to 3 months, gives them job training, and helps them find jobs and helps them find apartments and houses to rent and what have you. So it's very neat, but someone's got to feed them. And different churches and synagogues in the area take turns. And this week it's our church's turn, and the youth group took Sunday night. I'm sorry, the TV is on behind me. We're watching a baseball game right now. The Giants versus, I think, the Reds. So I should go turn it off. Well, I will in a minute. It's not so bad when it's the game, but the commercials come on really loud. Hold on just a sec. So anyway, that meant a lot of cooking this afternoon because we volunteered to bring a meatloaf, some mashed potatoes, and a pie. Jack made the pie. It was pumpkin. Pumpkin pie is a very easy pie to make, but it has to have time to cool. That's the thing about pumpkin pie. So Jack made the pie, I made the meatloaf, and I made the mashed potatoes, though I must tell you, the mashed potatoes were from a box. I used to always, like, make everything from scratch. I mean, I do make. When I cook, usually I make stuff from scratch. But I have found when cooking for large groups and you've been asked to make mashed potatoes, make them from the box, like the Hungry Man instant mashed potato flakes, because they're really good. This is the thing. I mean, they're really potatoes, right? They're potato flakes, and you add some milk and some butter and some water, and voila, you've got your mashed potatoes, and they taste great. And I learned this from making mashed potatoes for second graders, because, you know, who wants to peel 5 pounds of potatoes for a bunch of second graders who aren't going to eat the mashed potatoes anyway? So that's what I learned about instant mashed potatoes, which are quite fabulous. So anyway, so the afternoon really was devoted to cooking and then taking Jack and the food down to Antioch Baptist Church, which is down in East Durham. It's a different part of Durham than the part we live in, and it's a really interesting part. I like it. It's an old part, and the houses are great, but it's a poorer part. And some of the houses, there's some urban renewal going on there, which is good and bad, you know, because for the folks living there, sometimes it means the rents go up and you know, it changes the neighborhood. But I like it down there. I'm not sure I'd hang out down there after dark. There's some stuff that goes on. But during the day, it's like people are out and about, and the houses are really cool, and the folks at Antioch Baptist are very nice. So anyway, that was what was happening today, which I thought was going to be a big quilting day. And it's just starting right now here at 8. I started working. I finished the Dutchman's puzzle for the sampler quilt. Here's my feeling about the sampler quilt so far. I'd like to start over just because I think, now let me, I'll start that over. It's not so much I want to start over, but it's like I want do-overs on everything, but I want to keep moving forward. So I keep making stuff and thinking, well, I might do this again. And with the Dutchman's puzzle, I lost some of my points. It was not perfect. None of this stuff is perfect. But, you know, I feel like, oh, I could do that better. But you kind of like want to get on to the next thing. Although Jay is at a conference and I'm going to the beach and we're not on to the next thing yet. I've been such a slowpoke. I'm still very happy. The one thing I'm very happy with is the card trick block. I'm not unhappy with any of the blocks. I don't know. I might redo the pinwheel block. I mean, that's the thing. Every year I could do a sampler quilt and use it as a way to continue honing my skills. But I'm sitting here, again, in my little sewing area, i.e. the dining room, and looking at the wall that now has 6 blocks. And I very much like the card trick. I very much like the sawtooth star. And I do like the Dutchman's puzzle. I think those are just more interesting patterns. I also, the first block I did, which I think is just a 9 patch, I like that. They're cut, the others, they're pinwheels, which I just think the fabric is too busy and crazy. And I might redo it, or I might just say, hey, every year I'll do a new sampler quilt and try it again. Quilt much pinker than I ever envisioned, but there you have it. So we'll see what happens with it. And I can do over, can't I? Because it's my quilt. And Jay's very nice, and she would, of course, encourage me to do over any part I want to do over. Still working on the Robert Kaufman not Moto, Robert Kaufman Challenge for the Modern Quilt Guild. I have done 3 little blocks. I'm working on the 4th one. They're very, very fast little blocks. Again, don't know how it's going to turn out. I will take a picture of the blocks that I've done so far. I'm recording this Sunday night. I plan to post the episode tomorrow. So who knows how many blocks I'll have done. But I will. I'll do a picture, a photograph, so you can see the progress that I've made. And I'd like some feedback. I'd like some feedback on the Robert Kaufman Challenge. How to set the blocks. I have the sense that I will get sashing from the Robert Kaufman line that I'm using, which is like dust or sage, dirt, whatever it is, and to bring everything together and maybe set the blocks a little off kilter, you know, something like that. I don't know. Look at the blocks and tell me if you have any ideas. By the time I take the picture, there might be 5 or 6 blocks. I've got a couple blocks I've done that aren't working. It's really, this has been an interesting project, as I've said before, because of color and dealing with light, medium, and dark shades and how things recess or come forward in a block. And sometimes it's not always as I would have predicted. So any feedback you can give me would be fabulous. I'm trying to think what else to tell you. I was just listening to Pam's latest podcast. I'm a little behind on my podcast listening. Just been a little crazy, but it was interesting listening to Pam because she was talking about having her kids around together and how that can be difficult at times. And it is. Now, my life, I have to say, it gets easier when your kids get a little bit older. You know, Jack sleeps till noon, so he's like a non-entity until then. I start waking up around 11. I can't decide what to do, really. There's part of me that's very puritanical that thinks he should be up at dawn out, you know, tending the cattle and the chickens, collecting eggs from the chickens, but we don't have cows or chickens or farm or really anything for him to do. It is really the problem of early 21st century middle-class America. You've got these children, and they should be doing something useful. So little of use for them to do. I mean, they can do chores, and Jack does chores, but there's not enough chores for him to be working 9 to 5 at him, and nor should he be necessarily. Right now, I'm thinking he's 12, he's worked hard, got straight A's. I'm going to let him sleep a little bit. That I've made, and I'd like some feedback. I'd like some feedback on the Robert Kaufman Challenge. How to set the blocks. I have the sense that I will get sashing from the Robert Kaufman line that I'm using, which is like dust or sage, dirt, whatever it is, and to bring everything together and maybe set the blocks a little off kilter, you know, something like that. I don't know. Look at the blocks and tell me if you have any ideas. By the time I take the picture, there might be 5 or 6 blocks. I've got a couple blocks I've done that aren't working. It's really, this has been an interesting project, as I've said before, because of color and dealing with light, medium, and dark shades and how things recess or come forward in a block. And sometimes it's not always as I would have predicted. So any feedback you can give me would be fabulous. I'm trying to think what else to tell you. I was just listening to Pam's latest podcast. I'm a little behind on my podcast listening. Just been a little crazy, but it was interesting listening to Pam because she was talking about having her kids around together and how that can be difficult at times. And it is. Now, my life, I have to say, it gets easier when your kids get a little bit older. You know, Jack sleeps till noon, so he's like a non-entity until then. I start waking up around 11. I can't decide what to do, really. There's part of me that's very puritanical that thinks he should be up at dawn out, you know, tending the cattle and the chickens, collecting eggs from the chickens, but we don't have cows or chickens or farm or really anything for him to do. It is really the problem of early 21st century middle class America. You've got these children and they should be doing something useful. So little of use for them to do. I mean, they can do chores, and Jack does chores, but there's not enough chores really for him to be working 9 to 5 at him, and nor should he be necessarily. Right now I'm thinking he's 12, he's worked hard, got straight A's. I'm going to let him sleep a little bit. That I've made, and I'd like some feedback. I'd like some feedback on the Robert Kaufman challenge. How to set the blocks. I have the sense that I will get sashing from the Robert Kaufman line that I'm using, which is like dust or sage, dirt, whatever it is, and to bring everything together and maybe set the blocks a little off kilter, you know, something like that. I don't know. Look at the blocks and tell me if you have any ideas. By the time I take the picture, there might be 5 or 6 blocks. I've got a couple blocks I've done that aren't working. It's really, this has been an interesting project, as I've said before, because of color and dealing with light, medium, and dark shades and how things recess or come forward in a block. And sometimes it's not always as I would have predicted. So any feedback you can give me would be fabulous. I'm trying to think what else to tell you. I was just listening to Pam's latest podcast. I'm a little behind on my podcast listening. Just been a little crazy, but it was interesting listening to Pam because she was talking about having her kids around together and how that can be difficult at times. And it is. Now, my life, I have to say, it gets easier when your kids get a little bit older. You know, Jack sleeps till noon, so he's like a non-entity until then. I start waking up around 11. I can't decide what to do, really. There's part of me that's very puritanical that thinks he should be up at dawn out, you know, tending the cattle and the chickens, collecting eggs from the chickens, but we don't have cows or chickens or farm or really anything for him to do. It is really the problem of early 21st century middle class America. You've got these children and they should be doing something useful. So little of use for them to do. I mean, they can do chores, and Jack does chores, but there's not enough chores really for him to be working 9 to 5 at him, and nor should he be necessarily. Right now I'm thinking he's 12, he's worked hard, got straight A's. I'm going to let him sleep a little bit. So a couple things I wanted to tell you about. First of all, you probably, if you're listening to all the various podcasts that we all listen to, you know that Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us and Pam at Hip to Be a Square and Jay are doing hexagons. They're doing a hexagon along, so which sounds a lot of fun. I'm not going to do it, but I am going to watch them do it and see what they come up with. That's exciting. Jay is also doing a block along. I think she's reviving a block along that she had done earlier, because I had talked to her about the possibility of doing at some point a quilt along. Birgit from Germany had said something to me about doing that, and I am not in a position to have the authority to begin a quilt along and have enough quilts going on that I don't think I could start a quilt along and really follow through with it. And so I talked to Jay about it, and she thought block along. She'd done some block along before, and she's going to do it again now, and in fact is doing it now. So if anyone wants to block along with me, let me know, and that would be fun to do, blocking along. Also, speaking of Jay, she is going to be on Mark Lipinski's Creative Mojo this week. I don't exactly know the context. She just emailed me from a conference where she's at and said that. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I can't wait to tune in and hear what Jay has to say. That sounds so fun. See, even Mark Lipinski knows Jay. And you can know her too. Go to her blog, artquiltmaker.com, and see what she's just, it's just lots and lots of good stuff. So I did want to bring that up. I'm trying to think if there was something else I wanted to mention. No, I think a lot of people, and I'm very happy about this, we've been talking about books, not just quilty books, but books we're reading. I am reading Eudora Welty right now. Thought I would share that with you. Delta Wedding. It's very, very good. It kind of reminds me, surprisingly so, of Virginia Woolf, who I've not read in a long time. And Virginia Woolf is one of these writers. She's sublime. You have to be in the right frame of mind for Virginia Woolf. You have it, but if you are, it's a beautiful thing. I think Eudora Welty is more accessible, but she's still, there's something also sublime about her. And I had only read short stories. I've not read any of her novels. And her short stories that I've read are more of kind of the quirky Southern funny ladies and, you know, Sunday school hats and that kind of thing that seems typical of a certain kind of Southern fiction. And I think that in some ways they are misleading, and that she has a very serious mind. And a very acute eye. She's an amazing observer of human nature. So I am also reading, and this is going to be a summer of Eudora Welty for me, or at least a month of Eudora Welty. I sort of got thinking about her when I heard on the Diane Rehm show, Suzanne Marr, who is Welty's biographer. Welty has several biographers, but I think everyone agrees pretty much that Suzanne Marr is the biographer. But she also just recently edited a book of letters between Eudora Welty and William Maxwell, who was a novelist, a short story writer, and also an editor at The New Yorker. And they had quite a lively and delightful correspondence. So I started reading that, and made me think I wanted to read more Eudora in general. So I'm doing that and enjoying that. It's always, you know, the summertime always gets me thinking a lot about the South, because I think that in summer the South is most, it's most Southern. You know, it's just, it's very beautiful. I mean, it's why I love the South. Summer is hard and the heat is hard, but the trade-off is it's beautiful. And it's green, and it's amazing. It's you know, this, in some ways, the summer is the South's season. Well, spring, too. It's like fall in New England. You know, April and May in the South are just incredible, at least this part of the South, which is sort of the upper South, North Carolina. But there's something about summer that's just, you know, we can be as global as we want, but we still walk with our feet on the ground, and there's just something very powerful, I think, about the beauty here and the oppressive heat and how good it smells. It smells so good because, you know, you've got that hot sun out all day and you've got the trees and the flowers. It smells really good. The honeysuckle smells really good. So anyway, I just get all Southern in the summer and hot, unfortunately. So I think that's going to be it, because I want to get this posted tomorrow, and I don't know if I will podcast from Ocracoke, from the Outer Banks. I might not. We'll see. You tend to get so baked, sun-baked, when you're out there, and just by the end of the day, you're sort of ready to just drift off into sleep in front of the TV. So I don't know if I do plan to do some quilting, but whether or not I'll podcast. So maybe a couple weeks before I'm back. In either case, if I'm back next week or if it's a couple weeks, I hope you are getting some good quilting done and having a great summer so far, and just, you know, being good to yourself, being good to your people, and letting your people be good right back to you. I'll talk to you later. Bye.